Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow Liberty lovers. This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries, reminding you to tune in on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific time, for the Living with Freedom show, where we'll embrace what living with freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in everyday life. That's 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific, here on Freedomizer Radio.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the Word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the Book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ripper. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the One World Government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show.
here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Welcome to the Proof Negative Radio Show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Thank you.
on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Monday, TGIM, everyone. Another broadcasting week is about to start for us. Well, it is starting now, so that's for the best night of the week, and I have one of the best co-hosts I can ever ask for joining us here in just a second. I have Christina coming in. And if you out there in Radio Land have anything you want to share tonight, the number here is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number 1 on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into tonight's conversation. So with that, welcome in, Christina.
Hi, everyone. Thanks, Proof. How are you?
Hey, I'm adequate. Just enjoying another TGIM. Thank goodness it's Monday.
Yeah.
I don't want to ever confuse that with TBIF. Too bad it's Friday.
Yeah, it's been a actually pretty nice day here in Missouri, shockingly. The temperature has let up a little bit, so that was nice. And we had rain, which was also nice, not today, but over the weekend. So anyway, oh my goodness. So
just something on a personal note,
yeah.
As you know, the last few months since I was in the hospital, I've been checking my blood sugar on a regular basis, and I can't remember the last time my blood sugar's been above 130, so I'm very happy about that.
Oh, that's incredible. That's awesome.
Yeah, so being able to wake up and my blood sugar is 89 or something like that, and I can eat, and then 2 hours later it's at 108, I'm with not one drop of metformin or any insulin, so...
Exactly.
That's why I bring that up. That's why it's important.
Yes, absolutely. So what do you think is the main contributor? Just your diet? Have you?
For the most part, yeah.
Okay. Well, good deal. Well, obviously you've got that.
And again, I think that a lot of what I had, it might have just been built up, but
that's
I didn't
true.
Really eat terrible before. But I would have pockets where I would eat a lot of the wrong things, but it wasn't on a regular basis. But I still eat potatoes. I'm not going to eat potato chips, but I eat baked potatoes.
Yeah.
Shoot, I'll eat french fries. But I don't do rice, pasta, or I'll eat keto breads, but I won't do like white or wheat bread or things like that. If there's a good pumpernickel or a sourdough or if there's a keto bread,
yeah.
I will eat it.
Yeah. I think the Ezekiel breads are pretty good, too. But yeah.
I tried it. It's not, it's not bad, but I could do better.
Okay. Well, it's just,
I've
it's the whole food
I've tested
whole
blood sugar, and I feel like it... I feel like it didn't make that much of a difference when I did it.
Okay. Well, obvious to the whole foods, you know, as much as possible.
Yeah, I'm not saying Ezekiel bread is bad, but for me personally, when I see 16 carbs and no sugar, and I don't see a difference in the blood sugar, whether I ate it or didn't eat it, I mean, is it better than a lot of the other stuff out there? Yeah, but... It's not exactly keto-friendly.
Right. Yeah, I'm not a keto, though. You know that. So.
Yeah.
I don't do keto. But anyway.
Yeah, but if a bread has no fiber and no sugar, I mean, yeah, it has no sugar, but if it has 19 carbs and no fiber, why am I going to put it in my body?
Yeah. Yeah. True. But, you know, the funny thing about that is, though, people on the carnivore diet, see, that's what I don't get. I'm like, they're getting it's so nutrient lust. You know, it's no fiber and there's no other nutrients. I mean, they have to supplement with something. So, you know, I know people are going to eat the meat. Don't get me wrong, but I'm talking about people that just primarily eat nothing but meat. It just is, I don't know.
Yeah, I can't do straight carnivore, but I do the fat fiber protein thing.
Fat fiber. Oh, okay. I gotcha.
So
I gotcha.
The goal is every day, standard is no more than 25 grams of carbs, and I don't know if I've hit that in a while. But I don't count the carbs, and I don't count carbs really because I don't eat that stuff.
Yeah.
The only carb I might eat would be potatoes, and if they're baked, or if they're cooked and then frozen and then reheated, then the whole carb and sugar content is out the window. So I don't even know how to count that, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it doesn't spike me, so I don't really stress over it.
Yeah. No.
And the
I
only
mean,
rice I do is the cauliflower rice.
Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah, I mean, and think about it. You know, people talk about it all the time. Rice, almost all rice, has
arsenic?
Yes, arsenic in it. And I don't know where or why, but still the United States rice is the safest rice to eat. I mean, they do tell you, you know, if you're going to eat rice, make sure it's from the United States. But even the cleanest organic rice, I think, has traces of it in it. So I don't know.
Yeah, what you have to do before you eat rice, if you're going to eat it, is you have to soak it, and every hour you have to change out the water.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. So that actually helps pull it out?
Yes. Yeah, so
yes, okay.
I read like for 8 hours you're soaking and you have to change out the water at least every hour. So is it worth it to get rid of water 8 times so you could have rice? I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I don't either. I know for myself, I mean, the only reason I get off track is because, you know, with work and everything, and it's an excuse, I need to stop, but I know for me the best I ever feel is if I'm doing straight fruit juices or green juices and just literally just salads and eating fruit and vegetables. I mean, if I do that, I mean, the weight will come off and my stomach will just flatten out, and I mean, my whole body, I just feel so good. But it is really difficult to keep that up unless, I don't know.
The funniest thing, though, I just weighed myself, I weighed myself yesterday. So this whole time, when I went to the hospital back at the end of February, I weighed like 193-ish.
Yeah.
Given time, I'll weigh between 185 and 195. So it's like, even though I've cut my sugar back drastically, I really haven't lost any weight to noticeable enough.
So, now wait. So you're saying you yourself you don't notice anything, or you do?
I might weigh myself today and I might be 191. I might weigh myself tomorrow and I'll be 189, and then Thursday I'll weigh myself and I'll be 194 again, and I eat the same.
So you just hover right in there. That must be your, you know, they say everybody has kind of like a weight that they should be at, and I guess possibly that's yours, you know?
Just funny because I don't eat all the junk. I can't remember the last time I had maybe 2 weeks ago, I ordered an unsweetened iced tea, and it came with sugar, and I just said, screw it, and drank it. Other than that, I don't partake in that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, that's
good. Which is
strange
that, so I'm maintaining, I guess, for whatever it is.
Sure. No, that's good. But like you said, you've got your blood sugar stabilized now, too. So, you know, people don't realize how blood sugars affect everything. It's, you know, your ability to keep your weight where it should be, and it's so important. So my brother just they're listening to us, and he just sent, like you were talking about with the rice, saying that cooking rice similar to how pasta is cooked can reduce 40% to 60% of the inorganic arsenic content. So anyway.
See, I learned a few things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I bought one of those at-home A1C test kits, and my wife has been on vacation for 3 weeks in North Carolina. She comes back Thursday, and we're gonna video my A1C test.
Oh, I didn't realize you could do that.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
Interesting. And so she's on the opposite side of the country right now.
Yes. Yeah, wow. So I've been waiting for her to get home, because this whole time she was really stressed out that I wouldn't take care of myself, and then she saw the first couple weeks, even though I watched video after video and said, don't worry about the first 30 days, because it's going to take a minute for the sugar to start coming down. And she was all, like, worried that I'm not listening to the doctors, and I'm going to have my leg cut off and all this stuff. And I just want
to
see the look on everybody's face that said that I couldn't do this.
Yeah, exactly. No, listening to the doctors, unfortunately, is where people get in trouble, especially these days. I'm furious right now. A customer of mine, I feel so sorry for her, but she was diagnosed with, I think she had throat and rectal cancer. And after the chemo and everything, it went into her lungs. Well, they did radiation and everything. So supposedly all that's gone now. But sure, she got through with that. She had a small spot about the size of a soybean pop up on her leg. And the doctors, they tested it and they knew it was cancer. And instead of just cutting it out right then and there, they decided to administer, like, chemo instead. And I'm thinking, what are they thinking? I mean, all they have to do is cut this off her leg. So they keep screwing around, tell her, no, we're just going to keep giving you more medicine. So they wait a little while. Well, of course, it gets bigger. You know, so the chemo's not doing anything. It's actually making it grow bigger, which they should have known this. I mean, cancer keeps popping up over her body after she's had, guess what? The chemo's causing it. It's putting more acid on the fire. But anyway, so it grows. And they keep on saying, oh, we're going to wait a little while longer. So anyway, eventually it gets so large and it starts really hurting her. So they're like, oh, well, yeah, we've got to cut this away now. So now they do the surgery. They go in there, and they had to remove so much cancer out of her leg that the surgeon, she had to then go have cosmetic surgery. It took 6 hours for them to take muscle from other parts of her leg to rebuild her leg and do skin grafts. I mean, I would be
so when you
so
have
livid right now.
Small cancer spots like that, the first thing you're supposed to do, at least from what I've read, I could be completely wrong, get the sugar out of the body stat, because sugar is what feeds that cancer.
Well, it's one of the things, yeah. I mean, what people have to understand about cancer is it...
Well, I'm not saying it's the be-all, end-all. It's just the first thing that you can do to stop it from growing, because the cancer cells feed on that sugar in the body.
Well, I understand that, but when we just say sugar, we can mislead people, because there, I know multiple people that have been cured by simply going on a fruit diet. So, like, if someone does have cancer and they literally go on nothing but fruit and just do grapes, eat grapes for 40 days, generally their tumor is going to reduce. And literally, if you continue to do that, so, you know, you're not getting processed sugar. You're getting the fructose from fruit, which the body handles.
And most notably, the three best cancer-fighting fruits that I'm aware of,
yeah.
Two of them are hard to get, admittedly, mangosteen and soursop. You might be able to get soursop's cousin, shirimoya, which has a lot of the same benefits, but it's not soursop, and also just tons of grapefruit.
Yeah. I mean, citrus is great at cleaning out the lymph system. Yeah.
Unless you want to go for apricots and you crack open the kernels and eat the inside.
Oh, yeah.
Two or three.
Yeah. Those apricot kernels are something. Yeah, I did, you know, I think I already spoke about that, but years ago I did an article on that was published, and I'd have to go back and revisit it to remember all the terms. But, yeah, when you eat those seeds, you know, there's something in there that literally blows cancer cells up. It's the enzymes. They somehow, you know, there's something in a cancer cell that those seeds will just go in and blow up. So there's just, you know, there's so much information out there, and it's so overwhelming and frustrating that this medical system does everything they can to prevent people from knowing information
like
that.
It's just the funniest thing, Christina, that I could go into a medical office and they ask me, well, you're diabetic, right? Well, the last time I had my blood sugar checked, it was high. So are you taking metformin? No, I'm taking berberin. I've never heard of that. What kind of prescription is that?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's, you know what, there are people, like, I'm sorry, but if your blood sugar isn't going above 130 anymore, guess what? You've balanced out. You are not a diabetic. I mean, if everything's in check. So, you know, it's, everything is just so messed up right now. And I get so frustrated, especially when I hear stuff like that. Because, you know, most people, you know, I've studied this stuff for 30 years. And kept up with it. So there's only, what, maybe 10% of us that actually study this stuff. So the rest of the public are counting on these doctors who are supposed to be out there to help them. And they're not. Doctors, I'm sorry, like I said, emergency rooms, when you've been in an accident and a doctor puts you back together, that's phenomenal. But when it comes to everyday ailments, like and diseases, you know, that are diagnosed, they are pathetic. They don't cure anything. They just put people on a medicine, and then when you have a reaction to that medicine, they'll put you on that, you know, roller coaster to where they just keep adding and adding. And, you know, Dr. Vernon Coleman, he once said, he said, if you take a medicine, and he said, if you have any type of negative reaction to that medication, if it causes any symptoms, you should stop it immediately. You don't take another one to handle that side effect. He said, you just stop it, you know? And I'm like, you know, there's one of your good doctors. I just wish more had that mentality. But I just, the medical industry anymore is just all about the money. And the profit. And I, you know, it's even with this whole COVID thing, I mean, people know now that they were suppressing the doctors that were treating and having success with it. I mean, they should have had a lifeline for all these doctors around the world. They should have all been, you know, communicating with each other, and especially the ones that were treating it and saving people and having great success. You know, why weren't they all communicating? No, you know, the medical system in every country, they were suppressing that, which made no sense. So
and
that's
I'll be honest,
an arrest.
You know, I think my wife, I don't know if she's still mad at me. She could be, but she was hot that I wasn't listening to the doctors.
I don't blame you. I just, when I have something go wrong, I stay home. I treat it. It's, you know, so far I've been okay. I don't trust them anymore. I mean, like I said, there are some things, you know, my mom had her knee replaced a couple years ago, back in 21. And let me tell you, the doctor that did it was a phenomenal job. Her knee is like brand new now, you know, but that's just not always the case. What's that?
When I was on vacation a couple weeks ago, I stopped at this donut place that they have a Simpsons-themed donut shop called Hertz Donut. And so I told you maybe a few weeks ago about how you could freeze your carbs and then reheat them, and the glycemic index is almost nothing. I have a dozen donuts that I put into one quart freezer bags, so two donuts per. And when I test my A1C, and if it's under 7, I'm going to let myself have some donuts.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not saying I go back to that lifestyle, but I've frozen the donuts, and they are waiting for me to check my A1C.
Well, I mean, that's okay, as long as it's just like, you know, a celebration and you don't make a habit of it again.
But like I was saying, that if you freeze, and there, I don't know if you saw any of the videos after we talked about this, but there are doctors, there's multiple doctors that have come out and said that they did not believe the hype, and they cooked some carbs, put it in the freezer for 3 days, and then reheated it, and they noticed that the glycemic index was minimal.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's why I
that's
said I toast the donuts, so that I can toast them. Now, I'm not going to burn the donuts. I'm just going to lightly toast them so they're hot, because that's what pushes the glycemic index up. It gets frozen after it's cooked, and then it gets toasted.
Okay,
so,
well, there's obviously some.
I mean, it can get heated, but it's a donut. I'm not gonna char it, but
that's what I'm planning
on this weekend. I'm gonna celebrate.
Processing that food just a couple more times. Goodness.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna go back to the other way. For a while, at least.
No, it's fine. I get you.
I mean, I can live keto for a long time. I've found ice creams that I can eat. I found bread. The granola bars are one of my favorites, so I have some keto bars.
Yeah. You know what I make for, if I'm craving something sweet, you know, I used to make, one of my favorite cookies growing up was, they were no-bake cookies. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. But they're basically melted chocolate with, like, oats and peanut butter. And you mix it all up, and then you drop them, and they, you know, they harden a little bit. But you don't want them too hard. You don't want them too soft. You know, you got to get that perfect setting. That one's got quite a bit of sugar and stuff in it. So I just do a little cheap version of it, and I just get raw cacao and some dark chocolate chips, a few, like, really, really dark chocolate chips. And so I melt them very slowly, and then I also put in some peanut butter in there, some organic peanut butter, and kind of combine that, and a little bit of vanilla, and then I just add oats and mix it all up. to where it's in a consistency to where I can make these little balls and roll them up.
Okay.
And that's not too bad for a little sweet treat. I mean, because you've got your fiber and, you know,
yeah.
you're not adding any more sugar. I mean, obviously the chocolate chips have a little bit of sugar, but that's not too bad of a little sweet treat if you're craving something. So.
Oh, and if you take chocolate, like even as a kid, I could not stand either Nestle Crunch or Hershey's chocolate bars. They have to have something in them for me. So
yeah.
if I'm eating chocolate, I have to have cashews or walnuts or some kind of nut to chase it with, or else I don't even want it.
I mean, there's almost nothing better than a good nut with dark chocolate on it. I mean, I love that, but I don't eat a lot of it. I can't. I don't even buy that stuff because if I do, you know, I learned this from Pam Popper when I studied with her. If you buy anything that you really don't want to eat, if you buy it and put it in the house, you're going to eat it. You know, so you have to keep it out. But, and like you said, once in a while to celebrate is fine, but it also depends on how sick we are. You know,
hey, I'm not
health
saying I'm perfect, though. When I was in Phoenix last month,
I
did get a dozen of I really like some really good Italian bakery cookies.
Oh.
So I had some cookies along the way. I'm not going to say I ate them all in one shot because I didn't,
yeah.
but I could eat two or three at a sitting.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and also maybe they were small, right?
Well, they're just normal size cookies. I mean, it's not like
yeah.
you're eating those huge chip witches or anything.
Yeah, exactly. So, but, you know, health is one of our greatest assets. So, and it just, we're bombarded these days with, from every angle. I mean, you've got the freaking technology stuff flying through the air, and then our water and our skies, and I mean, so we just got to do what we can do, you know. But it's, you know, Dr. Morse, you know, I remember in his book he was talking about how, you know, he said our body is our temple, our vehicle, carrying around the true self while on this planet. And he said, so why do we often treat our cars better than our bodies? And it's so true. I mean, if you think about it, we do that a lot. But, you know, when it comes to the body breaking down, you've got two choices, you know, when something happens. And it's either treatment or detoxification. And
mm-hmm.
The best way to do it is detoxification, because it, you know, that true naturopathy is detoxification. It's in order for your body really to heal, you've got to clean it out. And I'm not just talking your digestive tract. You know, you've got to clean everything out. You've got to get your lymph clean. You've got to get everything out of your body. And you know, there's a lot of people with is it the Crohn's, where they get really, really skinny? You know, they can't keep weight on, and they go down to almost being skeletons. And I remember I followed Jeff Juices, and, you know, he had that. And literally, he just went down to bones. But he went on green juices and fruit juices, and he said, I lost even more weight. And he said, but then finally, once I had my body completely cleaned out, he said, then I started eating fruit and salad and stuff. He said, I finally was able to gain weight. But, you know, sometimes you have to be patient and give it time. I mean, look how many years we've spent putting things in our, you know, bodies we shouldn't. And so you can't expect them to, or your body to just bounce back immediately. You got to be patient.
Well, it's been
yeah.
almost 5 months since I was in the hospital.
Yeah. Well, I'm just, it's wonderful that, you know, you got over that. And you, like you said, you did it on your own. You know, that's great. So, but it's, you know, Dr. Morse tells us too, it's the body is the healer and energy is at the core of healing. So the true cause of disease is the destruction of energy. And that's the healer. It's energy. When you stop, you know, fueling your body with energy, those cells have to have energy. And unfortunately, when we're eating mostly acidic foods or just foods with low energy levels that are dead, you know, it's people have to understand that what you put in your mouth is either going to give your body energy or it's going to take energy away from it. And unfortunately, you know, the animal foods, they take energy from your body. Some people say, well, I feel energetic when I eat meat. Yeah, a lot of times it's because of the adrenaline rush the animals get right before they're killed when you're eating
that.
Yeah,
we have differences on that. I am a huge proponent of grass-fed meat, so I'm not losing my grass-fed meats anytime soon. But the lab-grown stuff or the genetically altered, if you will, the chickens that you buy that never even turn around once in their life, yeah, that's the stuff that you would not be purchasing.
It's awful. No, and I understand that, but all I'm saying is if you're going to have your meat, you have to have the food to balance them out, to give the energy, you know, because what happens is the reason the animal foods are hard on the body and take away the energy is because the body has to break them down to turn them into amino acids to use them. So, you know, your body's using its energy to break these meats, these animal foods down into building blocks. To whereas if you just eat the amino acids from plant foods and so forth, you know, your body can use them. But, you know, and then vegetables are kind of the medium. So they've got energy. They don't necessarily give or take away. And then your fruits are the highest energetic foods. So they give your body energy. And that.
So I've learned heavily on the fat, fiber, protein. So I try to make all meals have all.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it just, but that's why people heal on fruits, because it's giving those cells the energy that they need to, you know, heal, to clean and to heal. So, but no, I know. I did. My brother, if he's still listening, I know he likes his meat too. You know, so they definitely have that. But he's pretty good. They're pretty good about throwing the veggies and stuff in there with it. And I did. They were fixing little like fruit bowls that they were having throughout the day too, and saying that actually we're feeling better when they ate those. So I hope they're still doing that. But
yeah, the one issue, the thing that I've learned that I can't eat is even if it's meat, if it's fatty, I can't touch it. Like if it's a steak that has fat, I cannot for any reason, I can't try to put that fat down my body. It won't work. So my dogs appreciate that though.
Yeah. No, I know when I did eat meat, I could never stand the taste of fat. And some of my family members loved it. My brother actually, I think, liked it. My mom liked it. And I'm just like,
I'm glad I live in the right city to do this, but about once a month I get a craving for a prime rib.
Yeah.
And my dogs love that because of the fat that comes home with it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was never a prime rib. I just have never been, granted, I grew up, I liked hamburgers, I will admit that, but I just wasn't a huge meat person because, well, I just couldn't, I hated raw meat or like rare meat. You know, I grew up eating, my mom was a great cook, and I remember she would make like a roast. You know, with the veggie stuff was delicious. But yeah, I was just, I know the prime rib's pretty raw, isn't it? And then, like you said, it does have the fat on there, but I just, I don't know. I'm okay without it. Definitely okay without it. But I understand. I know a lot of people want to, you know, consume it. So, and you know, too, my other reason for doing it, I can't stand how animals are raised and abused, and I just don't want to be a part of that. It breaks my heart, especially the cows and the pigs, and just, it just really, really hurts when you see that stuff. It's just hard for me to even watch those programs about that stuff. I just don't understand how man can be so cruel.
Topics here. So, The Sound of Freedom.
Oh, yeah.
Did you say you've seen that already?
I haven't seen it. I'm going to talk to a few people first. I want to. I just don't know if I can handle it. I have a hard time. I know that that's out there. And it takes, I mean, I would love to arm up and go after those freaking demons. But I probably wouldn't leave any of them alive. If I saw one of them hurting a child, I mean, I couldn't.
See, there are some people that are refusing to watch The Sound of Freedom, and they're trying to say that the people that made that are just like everybody else, because they originally sold the rights to the movie to Disney, and then Disney chose to just sit on it.
Really?
But the thing is that if you're an unknown filmmaker and somebody offers you a ransom for a movie, I don't think just because a filmmaker came up to you or a film company came up to you and said, I like your movie, can I pay for the right to distribute it? Just because you said yes does not necessarily mean that you're a sellout.
No,
honestly thought that, okay, I can't get my movie out otherwise, so
yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and let Disney do this. They promised they would show the movie, but then they didn't, so they were able to back out of it. I'm not.
Disney might have had a agenda there. I mean, it's a possibility. Troop, are you still there? Hello? I think I lost you. I'm messaging you. I can't hear you. Okay, so you can hear me? Okay, so I guess I'll keep talking till you come back on. Okay, I gotcha. All right. All right, guys. So until he gets back on here, I guess I'll talk a little bit more. But, yeah, I wish if anyone watched The Sound of Freedom, if you've gone to the movies and viewed that, I'd love for you guys to call in and talk about it. Let us know how it was, you know, what you thought about it. I am, like I said, I would really like to go see it, but I just am not sure that I am capable of handling it.
Okay, I'm here.
Okay, good. Yeah, I was just telling everybody, well, you can hear me. So, yeah, I wish some people would call in if they've watched. I'd like to know, because do you know if they show a lot of it's hard for me to view that stuff, because once it's in my head,
mm-hmm.
It's really hard for me to shut it out. So I don't like getting those images in my head. To me, there's nothing more important in this world than children. My kids are everything to me. And, you know, my grandkids, and it's just like the thought that these things go on with kids their age, just it just, you know, gripped my heart. And I want to see it, but like I said, I got to make sure I can handle it. I guess I can close my eyes at the parts, you know, if there's anything too bad. But yeah, I mean, it's been sickening how the media has been covering this and some of the other woke people trying to say that it's, what were they saying about it? I looked at an article earlier. I'm trying to remember the words they used.
Yeah, these are the same people that endorsed that Cuties movie a couple of years ago on Netflix. And they're telling you that this movie is just for Republican maggots.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's in the
sand.
So if you
want to protect kids, then it means you eat maggots.
Yeah. there's a lot. Yeah, I wrote down actually a lot of stuff to talk about this week, but that one just, I mean, I can't believe, well, it just, and who, oh, they were saying, yeah. And obviously Hollywood, you know, fussing about it. And I'm like, well, duh, no wonder, you know, they're the ones that participate in it. A lot of them are responsible for it. They partake in it. So, a sick world, very, very dark world right now. And
honestly, that's the reason I want to watch the movie is because of the haters.
Yeah, true. And did you hit the numbers? Did you see it did better? Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Let me see if I can get
it. Yeah, it's over 40 million now, right?
Yes. And like surpassed some of the biggest movies. I'm like, this is awesome.
And no film company wanted to release this movie.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yep. But like I said, Disney might have had an agenda. You know, they might have bought it on purpose so that it wouldn't get out. But yeah, people have to understand that industry, because I know I have a friend that is a movie producer. And you know, I learned a little bit from him, and he said, you know, you have to have, yeah, you've got to get sponsors. You've got to have somebody to fund the movie. So I can understand, you know, why they would have done that. But, you know, Disney is a hard one to swallow with everything we know about them now.
Trust me, I've been looking at sponsors for a documentary that I've been wanting to do for Barefoot is Legal. And just on the cheap end, it's going to be about $300,000.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure. I mean, you've got all the camera people and everything, but I do have, I need to hook you up with Afshin. You could always talk to him.
Okay.
He's produced a couple things, and, you know, nothing big over here, but I know he won something when he was over in his own country in Iran. He produced something and won something. So, yeah, I'll have to have him contact you.
Because I feel as though if I can get this onto a Netflix or onto something for people to watch, it doesn't have to be Netflix. It just has to be something. Then
sure.
I feel as though I could start gaining the respect.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things. And trust me, after almost 8 years of having our Facebook group and the business page and seeing our traffic, believe it or not, for something like what we have, it's had, I want to say, somewhere between 600 and 700 million views in 8 years, it could be more than that.
Wow. That's a lot.
I've had memes that got well over 70, 80 million hits, so I learned a little bit.
You know, and there's, you know, and it's, there's some great things about going barefoot. You know, It's
well, I didn't mean to turn it into that. I was just saying I understand the need to fund, but we can discuss. You know, I'm always up for that.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, the grounding thing, I mean, it all kind of fits together too, but no, that's awesome that you've created that. So.
And I know how my traffic is built, and you'll have haters watching it, and you'll have the people that say they're haters, but secretly they're hoping that their friends would like it so they can like it too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So I'll be doing a lot of barefooting next week. I'm going to be in Florida. I can't wait.
Okay.
Although it's probably going to be so hot. So I should be able to do the show still. Just have to do it from down there. But it shouldn't be a problem. So I wanted to bring up too, that there was an article published about the Amish, and it was talking about how zero, zilch, nada, not one kid, Amish kid, is suffering from cancer, diabetes, or autism. And why? They have a population of 400,000. They're fully unvaccinated. And what's crazy is it says, you know, they were talking about why no report regarding the health of Amish children. And they said the reason there aren't any reports is because it would be devastating to the narrative. So it said it would prove the CDC has been harming the public for decades and burying the data. And that's so true. I mean, can you imagine? If people, and people need to know this, the Amish kids do not have all the diseases that, you know, regular American kids have that are vaccinated. So people need to know this. I mean, somebody needs to report on this. And you know, it's that study that's never done. Take vaccinated children and unvaccinated children, and let's see who's healthier. So I thought that was very interesting. And they were talking about too how, you know, they didn't wear the scans, the bacteria breeding mask. They didn't lock down. They didn't take the gene therapy. They knew not to follow the CDC and Fauci. So, and their survival rate was 90 times higher than the rest of America. So it's just amazing to me. And it kind of proves to me, though, that, you know, the Amish are obviously, they are God people. You know, they are connected to the greater source. And I honestly believe that's where the disconnect is for a lot of people. If you don't have that, you're not necessarily going to know the truth. You know, you're going to have a hard time believing it when you do hear it, knowing it in general. So, I don't know, but that's something we need to pay attention to. And I mean, and then I went into, you know, looking more into the vaccines again and the gene therapies. And, you know, one of the biggest reasons you should avoid both of them like the plague are the ingredients. I mean, just name a few ingredients in case people don't understand what's in them. You have mercury. Now, mercury was taken out of a lot of them, but they're still in the flu vaccines. You have human blood in them. You have deadly pig viruses, eagle blood, dog blood, infected green monkey kidney cells, sucralose, MSG, cow blood, chicken blood, eggs, dairy, antibiotics, peanut oil, latex, aluminum. You know, you've got formaldehyde. Why would anybody want to let them inject this into the body? I mean,
because somebody told them.
Yeah, it was okay. This is why there's so much programming out there. because they know if people knew this end of it, they would be questioning it and going, wait a minute. And, you know, and plus if people knew the history about how these childhood diseases actually, you know, stopped plaguing us, it most of the time it wasn't from the introduction of that vaccine. You know, people just, they have been lied to for so long and programmed for so long. And I'm so sick of seeing these right now. I don't know if you've noticed them. Well, I know you don't because you don't watch TV, which is good. But the little bit of TV that I do watch, I get so sick of right now they're pushing all these different vaccines again, not just not the COVID gene therapies. You know, they're talking about all these other ones.
Yeah.
And I just...
Well, the thing
is
that they pushed the COVID so hard that now nobody wants nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. It's true. It's true. And I wanted to remind people, too, I had forgotten about her because I just, she's been kind of quiet through all this, and she popped up again. Have you heard of Barbara Lowe Fisher of NVIC? So that's, okay. So people need to know, you know, that's a great website to go to. It's NVIC.org, National Vaccine Information Center. And she has everything on there. And she can look up any vaccine, and she has every ingredient that's in it. But, you know, she used to vaccinate. She, it was, you know, she got into this from her son was injured in 1980 by the DPT shot. And she and other parents joined together to create NVIC. So, you know, a lot of people have to understand, too, it's not, we aren't all conspiracy people. There's a lot of people that are hurt by vaccines. And unfortunately, these manufacturers have immunity. You can't go after them in any way. And so they just, you know, we just got to keep trying to shine the light in this dark part of our world and hope that wake up and start saying, no, wait a minute. There's better ways to go about these things. So it just, there's so many red flags and all this stuff. But most people don't see those red flags. You have to get in and dig and look for them. But what else was I trying to
say? Hey, something
else
I wanted to go over.
Yeah.
I think this is just hilarious that Ben and Jerry's had this big thing about giving stolen land back to the Indians, the Indian reservations. And as it turns out, the land that the Ben and Jerry's factory is on was owned by Indians. And so they're saying if you put your money where your mouth is, you should just give us your company.
Oh, wow. That's
so we'll
I
see.
That.
Yeah, we'll see if they actually do that, because the one thing about liberals is they're all talk and
yeah,
all hate.
Very good. Yeah. Yeah. Seems that way. So, boy, Rochelle Walensky, boy, she's been catching it from a lot of people. You know who I'm talking about? The CDC director?
Yeah, the CDC director, right.
Yeah. Jim Jordan let her have it about misleading people. And then I'm trying to remember who else. Somebody else let her have it too. And I was like, that's awesome. So, a former Green Beret. They confronted her saying, I really look forward to you testifying about your involvement in murdering 38,000 Americans due to the jab. So, and she just, oh my God, just sat and listened to her babble and just, I don't understand. I need you to, you know, tell me more. So I just, I'm ready for that Nuremberg trial to start. But I'm even more ready for all these freaking pharma ads for anything to be taken off. You know, what is it? If our country and New Zealand are the only two countries in the world that allow pharmaceutical ads on TV.
Yes.
I think.
Yes, that's true.
Unbelievable.
You know, we didn't even allow attorney ads on TV until the 1980s.
Yeah. Jeez. Well, did you hear, I think that they did pass a House bill to prevent Biden from banning the gas stove.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. Supposedly. I'll have to get back to it, but yeah, no, it said House passed bill to prevent Biden from banning gas stoves.
Is it just the gas stoves or is it all the appliances? Because I saw they were trying to come for dishwashers and air conditioners.
This says House passed bill.
The Energy Star says that you could use 5 gallons of water for a cycle for a dishwasher. But most, Barry Sotaro and his husband, Michael Robinson Obama, who I'm sure is a nice lady, they did not change anything, but they encouraged these companies to do 3.5 because that's the least amount of water that they could use that would still clean dishes. And now Brandon's trying to get it to either 3 or 3.1 or 3.2. Or even less. So all these dishwashers that complied with Barry Satoro's unwritten rule, now they're not even good enough. Because at a certain point, if you don't have enough water to clean the dishes with, then your appliance is useless.
Yeah, it's insanity. All of their initiatives they're trying to push are so ignorant. It's like they make no sense. It's like until you go after the real culprits, which are the freaking chemicals out there, and all these freaking manufacturers and the people that own these.
I'll tell you what they're doing. They're doing stuff just to tell their base, look, we're trying things. It doesn't matter if they work or not. The important thing is that they're in the news saying they're trying it because it's liberal.
Yeah. Yeah. And
so,
did you hear that?
Go ahead.
And in Missouri, it's good to be a Missourian right now. So the Missouri Attorney General, Andrew Bailey, he obtained a court order blocking the Biden admin from violating the First Amendment. So they won against him. I'm like, that's just awesome. So that guy's been him and somebody from and Louisiana. They've both been, you know, going up against Biden and they're winning. So I think that's pretty cool. Where is that? Oh, and I don't know if I heard it. If you heard about this, did you hear about the Massachusetts middle school students' revolt against the teacher-led Pride Month defiance, where they tore down signs and flags while chanting USA or my pronouns?
Did
you hear about
that? Familiar, but I haven't seen it.
Okay, yeah, it's just talking about how they did it. And said it was a middle school in the Boston suburb of Burlington. So I think that's great. I mean, we need more of that. We got to have more people coming together and fighting this stuff. So let's see what else was. Oh, and did you hear about the freaking, it's a male who now has breasts, and they have a baby. And these freaking people are trying to breastfeed these babies.
Right.
I just, That to me is child abuse. And you know, the thing of it is, and I think the CDC was warning them, you know, these people have to continue to take hormones the rest of their life. And that is not safe. I mean, I don't know how they freaking get them to produce milk. It's beyond me. But they are. And these people are taking these hormones. It should be child abuse. It's not safe. It's not good. I mean, this is the part that drives me crazy. We are harming our children. And if I didn't have so many family members and my kids and grandkids to worry about and take care of, I would literally arm up and go fight against all this stuff. I'm just so sick of it. So, that's that. And then the mass shooter on July 4th, Billy Bloodbath revealed as yet another angry transgender and BLM supporter. So that shooter was also another transgender.
Oh, that's a shocker.
Yeah. Yeah, shocker that these people all are mental. So, I don't know when they're going to. Well, they're not going to do anything right now, not as long as the current administration is in there. Might as well forget it.
So I do think it's time, though, to get to this week's Mr. Broccoli.
Oh, okay. Sure. I've got it up and ready.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yep.
All right. So I'll go ahead and get involved here. So this is in regards to Threads. So I'm guessing you did not sign up for Facebook's Threads yet, or Meta's Threads.
And I'm not going to. Nope.
Yeah,
no,
first of all,
okay.
You need Instagram in order to sign up for Threads. And if you decide you don't want Threads, then you also lose your Instagram account.
Oh, wow.
So, and the first thing they do is they make sure that Donald Trump and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. don't have accounts on there, and their stuff automatically gets censored. So you could be. So if they're trying to compete with Twitter, then why are they doing the ultra censoring as opposed to no censoring?
Yeah, I mean, what's wrong with these people? What are they so afraid of? Why can't
I don't think
everybody...
Elon Musk is afraid of truth coming out.
No. Jeez.
And most of us are not even Elon Musk fans. We just see that he lets us talk, and that's all we ever wanted.
Exactly. Freedom of speech. Let people on both sides talk. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Ugh. Crazy.
All right. So let me go ahead, and this one's called Threads, and it has the Factor. I don't know if you remember the Factor, but she's the fact checker. So she's not as fun as exciting as the millennials or the wiretap, but she has her own charm, I guess.
Okay.
All right. So I'll count down. 3, 2, 1, action.
Hold it right there, Broccoli's Talk. You are going to social media jail.
I have only been using Twitter because they do not censor thoughts.
Well, that is the problem. You did not sign up for Threads. We need to censor and monitor your posts.
No, thank you.
That is the wrong answer, Broccoli's Talk. We need you to sign up for Threads so we can decline your posts and ban you from Threads.
Well, then can't you just ban me before I ever think about going on there?
That is false. You must sign up for it and then post so that we can ban you. It is not fair that you can share misinformation on Twitter about Brandon. You said he sold state secrets. That is false. He never ever said that in front of anyone.
You mean this clip where he said this in front of some world leaders and big tech companies? I can play it for you right now.
I was just thinking, anyway, I started off without you. And I sold a lot of state secrets and a lot of very important things that we shared.
You need to go to social media jail for sharing that. That was false.
Look, just because your fake president admitted something that puts us in jeopardy does not mean it doesn't exist.
You need to be arrested for showing things that he says that are not true.
Well, then if Brandon is sharing false information, then why don't you go after him instead?
How dare you suggest that I do my job fairly? You are just upset because I am a person of color and I sleep with people that do not have penises attached to their persons.
Why would I care about that? Who you sleep with and what color skin you have does not have anything to do with Brandon selling country secrets to China.
You are a complete loser. Brandon can sell secrets if he wants. He's a Democrat.
I figured that's how it works. If you are a Democrat, you can get away with literally anything and everything.
That is correct. Then why don't you also become a Democrat so you can also get away with stuff?
That would also be false information. You will not be able to get away with stuff just because you are a globalist.
Why are you so much against affirmative action? Is it because I am black?
I don't care what skin color you are. I just want to have the truth without government agents such as yourself sharing all kinds of fake news.
How dare you say I share fake news? You are just upset because I got this job because of affirmative action.
I can tell.
Just for that, I am bringing you to the local jail. We will make sure your social credit score is in the negative. No central bank digital currency for you. I bet you are so stupid and Republican that you watched the Sound of Freedom movie.
Of course I watched that movie. I am 100% against child trafficking.
Child trafficking does not exist. That is false information. For watching that movie and sharing information about it, we now have to stop what we are doing and bring you to the FEMA camp. Even though FEMA camps do not exist, if anyone thinks that FEMA camps actually exist, then we have to round them up and put them right away into a FEMA camp.
It sounds like you are smoking that special stuff with Hunter.
That was misinformation. The Biden family is allowed to have crack cocaine. It is common to have presidents to have cocaine. And I think you also meant to say that Donald Trump Jr. was the one found with cocaine and not Hunter. Hunter never smoked cocaine.
Wow, that is some special fake newsing. Hunter even went on 60 Minutes and bragged about his cocaine use.
We banned that video so you cannot share it. Now no one will ever find out about it.
Didn't the Supreme Court just vote unanimously that Brandon censoring other views is not acceptable?
Yes, but it is okay. This is different because we are against Trump. Everyone needs to be against Trump.
But that is not your decision though. Your president should focus on being a better leader. He should not be arresting his political enemies.
We will arrest and put in FEMA camps anyone who gets in our way. Not just Donald Trump and his supporters.
This is exactly why I fight these New World Order globalists. They want to depopulate the planet and bring in all their robots, their AI technology, and everything that goes against God. We need to work together to stop this nonsense from happening. I want everyone to check out the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. He has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and shares the things we need to be educated about. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live so you can hear the Proof Negative radio show. Otherwise, the New World Order will be defeating us soon.
All that information is false. We are only taking over the world because we love people. Bill Gates created his GMO mosquitoes because he loves people. George Soros only takes down Western world governments because he fights domestic extremism from people such as yourself. And Klaus Schwab only wants the 99% to eat the bugs and owns nothing because he wants you to just be as loving and liberal. If you ignore our great globalist leaders, then we cannot take over the planet and change it for the benefit of the 1% of the 1%. Bill Gates is the undisputed king of Depop. Let's do him a solid by rising up against freedom so they can take over the world. Now come on Broccoli's talk, I need to take you to that FEMA camp that we already agreed does not exist and never will exist.
All right, so that was an episode.
Yeah, that was good. I watched it earlier too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's. But, you know, I watched, what did I see today? I watched a short clip somewhere. Somebody was interviewing someone on the street, and they said, will you vote for Biden again? And she just said, did you see that?
No.
And she said, well, I won't be voting for Trump. She says, I'll vote for anybody, but I won't be voting for Trump. And she just... And he said, really? And he said, so what has Trump done? You know, and she just said, she couldn't really come up with anything. She said, but, well, don't you watch the news? Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. Ah, you're getting brainwashed. You know, the programming. So it's just it's insane that, I mean, honestly, how can people look at what our country has gone through since Biden stepped in and what we went through with, I mean, where did Trump hurt the people? I want somebody to tell me exactly, show me something. How did he hurt the people? Because I can show you.
Well, he hurt the globalists.
So
that
Biden hurt the people.
So let me just share a video real quick here. These are... A news station cherry-picked some minorities to get them to say who they're voting for, and it didn't exactly work that way. So let me play this.
Oh, okay.
It's Joe Biden and Donald Trump again. So I'll go to you, Tina. Who are you going for and why?
I mean, if it was between those two, I would obviously have to go with Trump. The economy was just wonderful. He was securing our border. I feel like, yes, there was divisive moments, maybe he should have been off Twitter, but I would definitely vote for Trump if that was between those two.
Yeah, what about you, Lydia?
I would definitely vote for Trump. He put America first. He made sure that the people were always first, and it wasn't just in the best interest of the government. So I would definitely vote for Trump a third time.
What about you, Sydney?
Yeah, I would definitely vote for Trump. I was like a huge Trumper. I have like this cup. So I would definitely go for him, but I also am considering like Vivek. I like his ideas.
Okay.
I think he has a fresh approach, so I do want to, I am thinking about him.
Okay. Delani, who are you going for?
I'm definitely going to go with Trump. I mean, regardless of how the news tries to paint him, he's still a family values kind of guy. And I mean, look at how the world's going right now since he's been out of office. I'm definitely going with him.
Yeah, you definitely sound like some of the brothers that I talked to in the barbershop. They just feel like they may have disagreed with some of his tone, but life was better for them. Y'all, thanks so much for joining. Mm-hmm. It's great to finally talk with some people on TV that are my age.
I know this seems like an evergreen commentary, but there is literally nothing less cool than being a Biden voter right now. Everything is in total and complete collapse. This weekend proved exactly how bad things have gotten. You have the New York Times. which is the stenographers for the regime. You have the Atlantic, which is where all the billionaires who fund the regime go to talk to each other. And then you have Axios, which is where, like, legitimate reporters who used to do legitimate work and, like, report out leaks from the Trump administration. All three of those sites turned on Biden this weekend. All three of them published devastating critiques of the administration, the regime, and leaked very damaging information on Joe Biden. All of them were either personal attacks, whether that would be the New York Times saying, yo, you have 7 grandkids, Mr. President. They were administration attacks. Axios published all these transcripts of Joe Biden just being a lunatic, screaming at his staff, screaming at the people around him, being just a monster, being a horrible boss. Or they were direct calls for resignation, which is what the Atlantic did. The Atlantic said, time to drop out. See ya. Sayonara. Go away. Joe Biden. All of these things are in devastating light of recent polling, which shows that Donald Trump is beating Joe Biden relatively handily around the country. Of course, these things are due to change. Not that I want that, but, you know, you've got to take polls with a grain of salt. Compounded with the fact that Joe Biden was effectively like a diseased, old, rotted, like a corpse of a carp on a beach in Delaware this weekend, man boobs and all, flopping around while Donald Trump was welcomed like a conquering hero in Paradise, Nevada at the UFC 290. All of it means energy, okay? Energy, energy, energy. And then this morning I'm looking at clips of Joe Biden effectively falling over trying to meet the King of England, needing to go, like, grab onto his hand and grab hold. It's bad. It's embarrassing. It's not fun for anyone who's, like, a supporter of the regime. And I think good days are ahead for us. We must keep marching forward. What's going on, Facebook? It's your boy, Benny. Thank you for watching.
All right. So your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I think that's spot on. You and I have discussed that before, too. I mean, you just have some people that somehow see that Biden is doing good. I don't know how that's possible, but obviously most people are seeing how horrible the world is since Trump has been out. And I'm not saying that Trump is the only answer, you know, but, oh, it was a lot better place when, I mean, they hadn't used the plandemic, if they hadn't used that. Now, when I say plandemic, don't get me wrong. They really, there was something they put out there. So I'm not saying there wasn't harm in everything, but it was planned. They knew exactly what they were doing. They were going to interfere in the election. They knew what they were doing. And they already, I just read something to where the UN's getting ready to try and release something in September of 2024.
Yeah.
So I guarantee you they're going to try it again. So people better be prepared. But I mean, were we in war? Was there war in the world when Trump was in? No.
No.
No. So, you know, were businesses, you know, all going closing? No. You know, I mean, gas prices were low. Food prices were not just crazy. I mean, how can people not see what's going on? I mean, there is so much, Biden wants so much government in everybody's face. I mean,
yeah,
he literally wants.
And it's the people that handle him. So you could say Barry Satoru and his husband.
Well, this is true. Yeah. It's true. Yeah, no, they say that Hillary Clinton's the one that's still controlling everything.
Who knows?
Yeah. So it's time for the people controlling everything again. So while ago when I was mentioning the Green Deal, here's one of those prime examples of why the green agenda is just BS. So Big Pharma is bleeding horseshoe crabs dry to meet the growing demand for vaccines. So here we are. Who's pushing vaccines more than anyone? It's the Biden administration. You know, this administration right now is just pushing them like crazy. And so these vaccines, they use these horseshoe crabs. They get, I don't know, did you know about this?
No.
That they use horseshoe crabs. So they're depleting the horseshoe crab populations along the U.S. Atlantic coast. And with limited accountability and serious environmental consequences. So here we are. And, you know, these are the things, these really matter. I mean, this is something that's really important. So basically, the drug makers, they use this product derived from the horseshoe crab blood to test vaccines, injectable medicines, and medical devices before they use them on humans. So the product tests for the presence of endotoxins, which is a toxin found in bacteria that can cause inflammation, fever, sepsis, and death. So the horseshoe crab's bright blue blood contains a substance called lumulus ambocyte lysate. It's known as LAL. And it detects the harmful bacteria toxins and captures them in blood clots. So no other natural substance is known to work as well to detect the toxin. So, I mean, here we go. They literally are killing these horseshoe crabs just to get that blood so that they can use them to, you know, produce more vaccines. Make sure they're not going to kill people too quickly, you know? I mean, these are just the things that the governments around the world are just out of control. They're ruining the world. They're ruining everything. And I'm just ready for it to stop. Way past ready for it to stop. Go back. Oh, there was one other article I wanted to find to talk about. It's very interesting. You know, there's always, you know, they say in darkness you can always see the littlest speck of light. And so through COVID, you know, such a dark time, but there have been, obviously, there's some light coming through. And, you know, the whole thing with, it's why I knew this thing was engineered and everything, because when I had it, you know, like I said, just the way the virus hit me and the things that happened, especially with the taste and smell. And, you know, with that effect, they've discovered the thing about the nicotine, which makes complete sense because I've never smoked anything in my life. I never wanted to, you know, and I never have. And so I might have gotten exposed. I may have a little bit of, well, I don't guess I would still have it. You know, my parents smoked. So I might have been exposed to it a little bit then. But the nicotine thing that they're discovering and how it could turn around that symptom, it's pretty amazing because they're also finding out, and they're not talking about it much, but, you know, Dr. Brian Artis, he just, he was talking again. He said that nicotine can cure brain tumors. Discovery of the nicotine and how it was reacting with people that had these viruses, they're starting to study it now. And I know we talked about Parkinson's already last week, I think, that we know that they say that people who smoke do not get Parkinson's. So they're, you know, testing that, looking into that further. And if I can find the article, there was, they had reported on a few things, but they left out the surprise that showed up with the brain tumors. When they were testing on these animals, they gave a larger dose of the nicotine, and I mean, here it is right here. It literally made the tumor, trying to remember what they were testing it on. So, but it made the, here it is. It says, they then tested to see if nicotine at less than 1 microliter per milliliter of blood would actually have any effect. In the summary, it says at that dose, it had zero effect. But the very next sentence is they upped it to 1 ul milliliter of blood, and they showed the electron microscope images. The brain tumor is completely obliterated in 72 hours, but they didn't even publish it in the summary. Now, this is being done to, this was animal, and I'm trying to remember, why is it not showing me? But anyway, I just, so that's pretty interesting. So I guess they've got to figure out, obviously you don't want people smoking cigarettes, but obviously it looks like nicotine may have some medicinal properties. So they're going to have to trying to figure out, I guess, how to use them and everything. There definitely needs to be some more studies done on it. Trying to figure out if there was anything else. And he did say that obviously nicotine is in different things. He even said that it's present in various, like, vegetables. So he said potatoes, celery, cauliflower, eggplant, green tomatoes, zucchini, and squash. He noted that God would have not created the vegetables with nicotine if it is really bad. That's a good point. So he said, if nicotine is addictive, how many people have been addicted to celery? So that's interesting. So I wonder if it makes you wonder if it's the additive put in all this stuff that's actually the culprit. But I don't know. But it's I'm going to have to watch that video and check that out. So anyway. That's
so I have some other videos here. I did want to get into the whole White House cocaine gate because they've said everything except Hunter did it. But as it turns out now, when the cocaine was found, Hunter was actually in the room.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, did you see the video where he's standing behind them?
Yes.
Joe Biden and his wife, and he kind of rubbed his nose.
Yes.
I saw that. So.
All right. So let me go ahead and play what Dan Bongino said.
You are the ushers. You're in the White House. So common sense, fellas. You find white powder in the White House. What do? Of course you call the Secret Service.
Yeah. Tell them.
It was probably found in the library. That's my guess, or in the residence. Everybody spun it. The Secret Service has some real explaining to do, too, because they got to know. Or somebody might have called the White House staff first and said, what do we do with this? And they said, well, call the Secret Service, but bring it over to where the work, you get what I'm saying? Bring it over to where the workers are first. That way the Secret Service has plausible deniability and say, oh, yeah, we found it where the workers were, even though it was initially found in a residence. Think about how dangerous that is.
Yeah.
Think about how dangerous
that
is.
You know, that's just like... your opinion, man.
I know. Thank you. That's the dude. No, yeah. It is my opinion, man. And it's the I'm almost positive, dude, it's the right one. Because they probably found it over there. Think about if that wasn't coke and that was anthrax or something. And you ask someone to transport it all around the White House, that's the only reasonable explanation for why we have all these reports. Residence, library, near the White House, cubbies, sit room. It's the only explanation. Ladies and gentlemen, Occam's razor. Keep it simple, stupid. Here's Karine Jean-Pierre. She absolutely knows they're full of shit on this. Here she is with the traditional Biden response to everything, these filth bags in the White House. How dare you, sir? How dare you ask this question? Listen to this goofball.
There has been some irresponsible reporting about the family, and so I got to call that out here. And I have been very clear. I was clear 2 days ago when talking about this over and over again as I was being asked the question. As you know, and media outlets reported this, the Biden family was not here. They were not here. They were at Camp David. They were not here Friday. They were not here Saturday. They were not here Sunday. They were not even here Monday. They came back on Tuesday. So to ask that question is actually incredibly irresponsible. And I'll just leave it there.
Okay, this woman's disgusting. She's just a horrible, awful human being. They weren't in the White House on Friday. It was found on Sunday. Really? Here's an email from Eugene Daniels on that for poolers. They're talking about press poolers. Read it yourself. Poolers saw Jill Biden, baby Beau, and Hunter Biden climb into the presidential SUV. Biden followed a few minutes later. This was on Friday. Clearly, Karine Jean-Pierre is lying. This is an author, by the way, a writer for Politico. You think Bullshitico, the left-wing Politico, that reported I got thrown out of a restaurant hilariously and still hasn't retracted it, by the way? You think Politico is lying here? They're a left-wing activist outlet. He was in the White House on Friday. It was found on Sunday. Like Joe said, he probably left it behind. It's freaking obvious. This reminds me of that segment on Dave Chappelle's thing about Juicy Smollier when the cops show up at Juicy's house. The two cops, one of them, the other guy's Frank. Frank, come over here. You see that clip, guys? Frank, come over here. He's reporting that he was walking down the street at 3 a.m. to get a Subway? Sandwiches? And two MAGA supporters in Chicago. This is it. This is like this defies belief, okay? You know what the story is. Everybody knows. That was a clip from the Dan Bongino Show. You can watch the full show. We recommend you do on Rumble. Go to rumble.com/Bongino, please, and subscribe for free. We appreciate it.
So is nothing going to happen then with, I guess obviously if Hunter didn't have anything about his laptop, he's not going to get in trouble for cocaine.
Come on, Proof. I mean, the Bidens can do no wrong. he could be holding a gun and shoot somebody, and somehow it would be an accident or that would be okay. I mean, it's getting that stupid. So, I mean, they own the media.
Right.
They obviously own the media. So, it's just, I mean, I won't even listen to that as a Jean-Pierre, whatever her name is. It's just ridiculous. It's like, you know, it'd be so nice if somebody would just say, I'm done. I can't lie anymore. But I don't know.
So let me get Dan Bongino out of the way with the other clip. He talks about the sound of freedom.
Okay.
I am a huge believer in the parallel economy. I actually own parallel economy.com. Folks, not only is the parallel economy developing away from the liberals, right? But there is a parallel culture developing too. If you have not heard about this movie, The Sound of Freedom, folks, I have not seen this movie yet. I'm absolutely going to. I promise you. I just obviously been on vacation, and it's not the kind of thing they play on a cruise ship. So I didn't have any ability to. I plan on seeing it. I got to work this week. The movie is about child sex trafficking. As you can see in the post-millennial, it's blowing away expectations. Folks, I am in the middle of a very, very big project with Dinesh D'Souza. I can't tell you what yet, but it is a parallel culture project, not that much different. You're going to love it. You'll know first, I promise you. I just can't say now. But so I've taken a keen interest in the movie business. If this movie makes $40 million, The Sound of Freedom, ladies and gentlemen, this will blow apart every single liberal goon Hollywood expectation in the history of liberal goon Hollywood expectations. Now, why is this a story about parallel culture? Because you would think, folks, if we lived in a sound, sane country, right, that a movie that's a true story based on a guy who stopped child sex trafficking and tried to rescue kids, fellas, don't you think that would be like, even the liberals would be like, yeah, man, that's great. We don't want kids being trafficked for sex. No, no, shame on you. Shut up, Armacost. Shame on you. No. Dad, it's apology accepted. Come on, man. You got to think like that. The left loves child sex trafficking. Why? Because if you talk about child sex trafficking in a movie like The Sound of Freedom does, what do you expose? You expose the open border, which makes Biden look bad. So there's two reasons. And guys, we need a supercut for this tomorrow. We got to find one. We need a supercut of liberals losing their minds over the success over The Sound of Freedom. I don't have enough time today for supercuts. We'll get to it tomorrow, but it's for two reasons. The first, for liberals, okay? Number one, like I said, they don't want to do anything about the open border. And if kids are being trafficked, young kids, for pedos and disgusting human garbage who sexually prey on kids, the libs are like, yeah, baby, let's do it. Because God forbid you expose the rotting bag of oatmeal in the White House and the open border. That's the first reason. It's true. No, Guy's right. If the guy was one of the LGBTQIA, BIOPC plus one spirit, the story may be handled a little different in the media. But no. No. But there's another reason. The second reason is obvious. Sexual identity politics, the sexualizing of kids, the grooming of kids, and the sexual abuse of kids, which is what's happening in schools, works for the left, the far left. Why? Forget the pedos for a second. I already told you about that with the first part. The communists know there will be no communism in the United States without the kids. They need the kids. How do you get the kids away from the parents? You get the kids away from the parents by confusing them. What's the best way to confuse them? Sex. They don't understand it. Yes, there are pedos who love this stuff, no doubt, who are taking advantage of the left. Who, by the way, don't stop it at all. They don't care. They don't care one bit, though. They're loving this. But the communists need the kids. The communists need the pedos, and the pedos need the commies, because it confuses the kids and pulls them from the parents. Any movie that exposes the left's newfound love affair with the sexual abuse of kids will be demonized instantly. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not my movie. I have no financial interest in it at all. Disclosure, or that's not even a disclosure. I have nothing to do. I'm telling you to please go see this movie. $40 million is not enough. That movie needs to make $80 million. If it makes $100 million, it'll be the biggest Hollywood story of the year. It's beating Indiana Grandpa Jones out there. I'm anything against Harrison Ford. I loved them growing up, but apparently there's some woke crap in that movie too about like them crapping all over the United States. Hey, your country does bad stuff too. No, no, we're not watching that. Please go see this movie. Buy a ticket. If you go, buy two. Bring a friend. If they don't show up, doesn't matter. The movie makes more money. Let's get it to $80 million. Let's get it to $100 million. And let's kick Hollywood in the balls again and build out the parallel culture. That was a clip from the Dan Bongino Show. You can watch the full show. We recommend you do on Rumble. Go to rumble.com/Bongino, please, and subscribe for free. We appreciate it.
Well, I don't know if that helps you consider.
Yeah.
And I just, yeah, I actually, one of my friends on Facebook, too, I had mentioned something earlier, and he just told me, he said, there's nothing graphic. He said, it's fine. And I said, oh, okay, good. So, no, I'm definitely going to watch it now since he let me know that. So, no, and, you know, that's true what he's talking about. It's like with what they're doing, they should be, you know, everybody should be talking about it. They are heroes. I mean, especially I listened to that guy. I listened to him be interviewed by someone and heard how he got into it. And, you know, it's people don't realize what he's sacrificing. You know, he has his own children, but that's also the reason that he did it. Because he saw this, you know, he could see when he was exposed to one of the things going on, he said, oh, my God. He said, you know, that could be my children. And he, you know, and then he talked to his wife, and she's like, yeah, you have to do it. So it's, yeah, definitely everybody needs to go to it to see it. We definitely need to get it, like you said, up to 80 million. So for some reason, I thought it was higher than to that now, but maybe not. I'll have to find that article again. But it's just, no, it's, people need to wake up. They better wake up if they care about their children. Because that's who they're after right now. That's for sure. So, let's see, what is that? So, there was a, you know, and I never thought about this, and but when it was mentioned, I thought, oh, that makes sense. So, we know, and I don't know if this is the only, you know, I'm sure there's more chemicals, but we knew years ago that Roundup glyphosate is not supposed to be used near water because water, like, keeps it alive, you know. And they also knew that it was making frogs, like a non-gender. It was messing up their genders. And so, you know, RFK and Alex Jones, they were talking, and they were agreeing that chemical-tainted water supply are turning children gay and transgender. And I thought, whoa. I was like, I mean, that's, you know, that's a possibility. Because we know, obviously, glyphosate has a massive presence right now. You know, it's not like it just goes away. And we know there's no way they were able to keep it out of water. I mean, we know that there was runoff that got into streams and everything. So it's everywhere. And, you know, it's deep down into groundwater. Mm-hmm. So that's a real possibility. You know, they're just, they're saying that they believe the chemicals could be turning children into homosexuals and transgenders.
Hey, universities now where over 40% of the students identify as LGBT, whatever.
It's nuts.
Your college students being gay?
Because you have no morals anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're removing God from everything. There's no morals. And so half of it, or the majority of it, might even be the fact that it's just perversive behavior. It's, you know, it's just, it's just bad sexual behavior. And It's just, it's really scary. But I think that that's the problem with most everything. It's just there's too many people that's lost that connection. And it truly matters. So, I mean, you've got, because I always think about that, it's like, you know, you have these people, they're confused. And then my point is, though, okay, so if you've got two guys and they're gay, and one of them wants to be turned into a woman, how does that make sense? Because I thought they both liked men. So why would one of them be turned into a woman? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I wish I could answer that.
I mean, but because it's like, well, why would you get turned into a woman? Why wouldn't you just like women? There's so much insanity to all of it. But like I said, not to discredit. I do understand that there are, you know, the percentage of people out there, they said it's the same percentage as redheads that are born.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's, I know, I guess, like a birth defect, you know, to where they're not either gender. So, but no, I think most of it comes from the people, and I know this from experience, from knowing people. You know, some people that turn gay, they've been abused. They were abused by, you know, their parents get divorced and they bring in a strange person into the home. And they abuse the children. And it makes them, you know, confuses them, and it makes them not want to be near that gender anymore. So it that happens, and then like I said, you know, when people aren't connected to the greater source, God, you know, they have no morals, and especially in college, you know, kids are drinking and partaking of things, and they're going to lose their inhibitions, and they're going to do things that if they, you know, did have morals and were connected, they're going to do things that they would not do. So I just can't recommend enough for parents to make sure, you know, you've got to instill morals, and you've got to have your kids knowing God and, you know, desiring Him and connect with Him. It's so important. So I think that's one of the...
Great. Well, I have more videos to play. Unless you have something.
No, you can go ahead.
Okay. So the whole thing over the weekend, I saw a bunch of Tucker Carlson and Russell Brand. So there's going to be...
I haven't watched that yet.
There's also Brandon sharing secrets on live TV. I could play that one first.
President Biden facing backlash after appearing to let a military secret slip during a rare live TV interview.
This is more relating to munitions and the running out of that ammunition, and we're low on it. And so what I finally did, it took the recommendation of the Defense Department to not permanently, but to allow for in this transition period where we get more 155 weapons, these shells for the Ukrainians.
Jake Beckett is a U.S. Army veteran and former Arkansas Senate candidate, and he joins us now. Jake, good morning to you. You know, it's a two-part issue here, actually three if you think about it. But when you think about the U.S. depleting our stockpile of military ammunition and the fact that Biden just let this blurt out, this was music to our adversaries' ears hearing this. Not only that, but Americans should be concerned. And then it begs the whole question, if he's just blurting things like this out in an interview, is he competent enough to lead the nation?
Well, it's a fair question, and I have to laugh because as an Army officer, former Army officer myself, if me or one of my soldiers were to tweet or give some kind of a media interview where we revealed such crucial information to the public, we would be censured, maybe even imprisoned. But here is our commander-in-chief just blurting out this tactical and strategic information for everyone to hear. It's embarrassing. It's humiliating. It's part of the reason why I believe that the Democrats are going to replace Joe Biden at the top of the ticket in 2024. And he really is just this doddering old commander-in-chief. He's an 80-year-old man. He's definitely lost a lot of miles an hour on his fastball, but it really has dire implications for national security. I mean, here he is just telling everyone, telling the world, that we are currently low on 155 ammunition, which is the largest and most important artillery munitions that we use in the modern military. And it also really begs the question, you know, why can't the West, Western Europe and the United States, match Russian production? You know, that seems to be a running theme over the past year to 18 months with this war in Eastern Europe. The United States, we're clearly having trouble manufacturing the munitions that are capable to not only, you know, complete the requirements for our own military, but to fund our allies as well. So, you know, we're supposed to be depleting, you know, the capabilities of Russia in this conflict. That's obviously not the case. As a matter of fact, it seems to be quite the opposite is what's happening here.
Well, the White House tried to walk this back. They told Fox News Digital, quote, the military has specific requirements for the numbers of weapon systems and ammunition we maintain in our reserves in case of contingencies or military conflict. Everything we send to Ukraine is in excess of that. So the U.S. is not running out of ammunition ourselves. You're the only one of the three of us who has a perspective on this. You served in the military. You understand how weapons work. You understand our stockpiles. Do you buy what the White House just said there?
No, that's just clean up on aisle three right there. I mean, that's just, we've seen this time and time again, the entire Biden administration. You know, he blurts out or he accidentally reveals the truth. And then his handlers immediately come out to try to walk it back and say, don't believe your lying eyes what the president just accidentally revealed to you. Here's what's actually happening. So we've seen this time and again. It's really no surprise. And again, it's why I truly believe that the Democrats, they're waiting for the right time. They don't want to supplant Biden with Kamala Harris because they know that she's a sure loser in 2024, and she's even more embarrassing in public than he is. So I think they want to wait until the right moment to supplant him with someone like Gavin Newsom, who would probably have a better chance in 2024.
Or now the media, they were propping up Gretchen Whitmer last week, right. So that was a new one. But now we got to switch gears to this. Texas Governor Greg Abbott, he's putting up some huge buoys across 1,000 feet of the Rio Grande to try and block migrants. You know, Jake, no matter what the governor does in Texas, the left is obviously going to criticize him. But do you think these buoys are going to work? Or is this going to cause, you know, us to see, I hate to say it, but more dead migrants in the river? Because it's the first thing I thought of.
Well, I think your mindset is correct. I mean, the left is going to hate whatever Greg Abbott or any red state governor does. So you might as well act decisively to secure the southern border. And you know, really, you have to think about this as a military engagement. Think about it in terms of national defense. Deterrence is the best strategy. So, you know, with these waves of illegal immigrants that are swarming across our borders, okay, all they know is what they see in front of them and what they hear from their family and friends and the groups that support them who have gone before them. So if they hear that, hey, there are dangerous obstacles in the river, that word is going to flow down through Mexico and Central peaceful America, and the word will be out that the border is secure. So what we should do is be increasing these efforts to deterrence and use this as an opportunity for red state governors to work together. I've been saying this for years. Okay, Greg Abbott and other red state governors should work in concert, utilize their National Guard, create new state guard militia units that are specifically designed to do what the federal government refuses to do, which is in violation of the Constitution, by the way, which is to refuse to secure our southern border. So I really encourage these other red state governors to help Greg Abbott do this because, you know, unless they work together, unless there's a coalition of red state governors to step in where the feds right. refuse to act, then these waves of legal migrants are not going to stop.
Jake Beckett, thank you for your time this morning. Have a great week.
Thanks, Jake.
I'm Steve Ducey.
I'm Brian Kilmeade.
And I'm Ainsley Earhart. And click here to subscribe.
Get rid of that. So I don't know if that convinced you of anything.
Yeah, I mean, once again, I mean, for him to say that, I mean, they shouldn't let him talk. I mean, that was something huge to me.
So, no, and the left is all, well, that's Brandon. Trump's worse.
Yeah. Oh.
It's okay to use cluster bombs, I guess, even though it's illegal. It's a crime
yeah.
against, it's a war crime, but it's okay if
yeah.
the Democrats say to use it. That's just
yeah, exactly.
crazy.
I mean, it just, he's going to, I mean, he is really, really moving us into a place
yeah.
close to getting us into war. I mean, he's not all there. Not all there. And I don't know, I'm beginning to think. I mean, to believe that China almost is like controlling them too.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just right now though it's just like all the organizations to help to put a stop to stuff like this. It's like they've all gone rogue. You know, they're all under their payroll. They were all in on those a large amount of money that the Bidens have gotten from foreign countries.
Yeah.
It's not a small number. So, a very large number. So, my bedtime.
So let's play Vivek Ramaswamy versus CNN over the weekend. By the way, Ramaswamy is now tied for second with DeSantis behind Trump, although he's not close, but he's now tied
wow.
for second.
Interesting.
So let me go ahead and get this out of the way here.
Okay. I want to move on to you because you've moved up to number three right under Ron DeSantis in the list because there are a lot of Republicans running. What are you doing right and how do you get even higher?
What we've been doing, David, is if you look at the metrics of the number of campaign events we've been doing, it blows the other candidates out of the water. So I'm using the same formula that's worked for me all my life in the business world and in academics before then. Hard work pays off. So we're putting in the work. The other thing that I'm doing is just speaking honestly. My entire campaign strategy is I don't really listen to message consultants for my message. My job is to let the voters of this country know who I am and what I believe. Whether they vote for me or not is their decision. But if I know that I've let them know who I am and what I believe, then I can put my head at night on the pillow and go to sleep
yeah.
with peace.
Yes, welcome back. I enjoy the fact that this man brings calm professionalism to every interview I have seen him do. he get mad with a lot of false equivalencies by his interviewers and handled them like a pro. Vivid might not win, but he is brilliant. We should accept this. I really wish he could occupy certain positions. When you look at this guy, you know, it kind of tells you he knows what he's doing. He recently had this interview with CNN. He destroyed his work anchor, you know, on this issue of bad citizenship. He had a series of questions, and you know, CNN, sometimes they want to challenge you like you don't know anything. I will play this so you can see exactly what happened. If you have not subscribed to the channel, please endeavor to do that. And if possible, why not share this video?
We have an influx of migrants across that southern border. 14,000 plus per day by some estimates crossing that southern border. That is not the rule of law. That is the abandonment of the rule of law. So if migrants are coming illegally, intentionally, to be able to establish an illegal toehold in the United States, then I think that that's something that we should not abide in this country.
And we should say that you were, and we should say also, I mean, you were, your both of your parents are immigrants to the United States, so you would have been a beneficiary of birthright citizenship, but you now are saying you would ban that for people coming into the country. And what is the period of time for which that would be the case?
For people coming into the country illegally. That's the key distinction. And people make this mistake all the time, and I think you got to be really careful when you talk about the difference.
Yes, this has always been a difficult discussion. You know, we often have expressing my view as a black person, and sometimes I get a lot of backlash. Illegal immigration is something that I've seen on the rise recently, and some even lie. Your country will not be that kind of hostile, you know, to take you out. Some will just create these, you know, like to say, I'm running away from my country because of this, that. But when you look deep, you will not see it happening. I want to say this for myself.
I think you got to be really careful when you talk about the difference between legal immigrants and illegal immigrants. One is founded on following the rule of law. The other is founded on breaking the rule of law.
That might be the case, but I'm just saying that
border security and immigration are not the same issue.
What I'm saying is that birthright citizenship, as it is currently in law, does not make that distinction between whether that person was born to someone legally or not. So you are saying that even though birthright citizenship for you was something that was in play, you would take it off the table now. And my question is also, how long would that be the case? And also, how would you do it? Would you go to Congress for a constitutional amendment?
Well, actually, I've supported the 28th Amendment to the Constitution. I'll actually go one step further on this, Abby, is that I don't think someone, just because they're born in this country, even if they're a sixth-generation American, should automatically enjoy all the privileges of citizenship until they've actually earned it. So one of the things I've said is that every high school student who graduates from high school should have to pass the same civics test that every immigrant has to pass in order to become a citizen of this country. I believe that there are civic duties attached to citizenship, so much so that I don't think you should automatically get your right to vote at age 18 unless you have passed that same citizenship test that immigrants have had to pass,
right,
or else have served the country.
Understood.
This is part of my broader pro-civic vision.
I want to know your thought, particularly to this, on the comment section. Vivid made it clear that even if you are born in America, you should be able to pass that test and taking up a certain age, you know, before you can do this. Like when you are still small, you should not just get this. It is logical, though a lot of people don't see it the way I'm looking at what he said here. I went through the comment section of this video to actually see how people are reacting to this. Vivid is my kind of guy. The truth above all, as intellectual...
Go ahead and get rid of that now.
Yeah, that guy, it's hard to listen to.
Bless his heart. He's trying.
Yeah, he's just hard to understand. So, I guess he was playing the Vivek interview.
Yes.
And he's talking about
it. Yeah, I thought
I
grabbed the interview straight. I didn't realize I grabbed the commentary.
That's what I figured was probably going on. You know, Vivek's one of those who's, isn't that how they're pronouncing his name?
Yes.
Vivek? Okay. He's, I always say the people that don't do the attacking, I like candidates that just talk about issues and what needs to be done rather than just attacking the other candidate. And I think he does that. I don't hear him attacking the other candidate. I could be wrong.
Hey, Vivek
he
has been overproducing. So nobody knew who he was until maybe a month and a half ago. And he's just doing his butt off, and he's saying all the right things and talking to the right people, and he's making an impact. He passed up he's tied with DeSantis statistically, but in a week or two, then he'll officially be second. DeSantis is on the way down.
Kennedy the only one on the other side running? Are there other Democrats?
There's only three that I know of, Brandon, Kennedy, and Marianne Williamson.
Oh. Yeah, she's... Well, she's not
going to
get it.
She's a candidate, so I can't discount her.
Yeah, very true. Who was that? I don't know who I was thinking else on that side that was. Oh, okay, yeah, no, I guess all the other ones are Republican candidates. But, I mean, Kennedy's gained a lot of ground, too. I mean,
you'd be surprised that ever since he announced his poll numbers, maybe the people that are doing the polls are skewing the numbers, but after his huge intro, it's like he's just another guy.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I pay attention to the number of people that are watching him and liking him and following him. And, I mean, it's huge. So,
yeah, but those are the same people that would have followed him anyway. I don't think he's getting any new supporters. I think Democrats, for the most part, if you're voting Democrat, you're locked into – I think you're pretty much locked into your candidate already.
Yeah, see, I don't – and I'm not – I used to not vote for party. I used to just vote for the person. Mm-hmm. But with as bad as the Democrats have been, it makes me – I love I love Robert F. Kennedy, Jr. But the fact that he's, you know, on the Democratic side, I just – that bothers me because I just think they're so corrupt.
He has a few decent subjects, and trust me, I've considered – switching political parties just so I could vote for Kennedy because that's a vote against Brandon. But I don't know if I'm going to do that.
Yeah. I think the people are going to want him on the Democratic side. I think they're going to want him nominated. But I'm not so sure that party will do it because he goes against so much of
And I put in videos and Broccoli Man before, we can't have a debate with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. that's sponsored by Pfizer.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, that's the truth. Yeah, well, we already know Trump would do that, unfortunately. Man, you know, there's a couple moves Trump could make that would boost him up even more. But I, for some reason, he won't go against the pharmaceutical companies. And I don't understand it.
No, and I know people that would have voted for Trump, except they can't trust him with Big Pharma, so they are going to Kennedy. So the only people that are switching their votes to Kennedy are the ones that are that were Trump supporters.
I gotcha.
People that that voted for Brandon last time, they're just going over to Trump because they see a broken candidate. But they're not looking at Kennedy because the media doesn't really tell them that he exists.
That's true.
The people that Kennedy are getting are the ones that don't think that Trump is electable based on his vaccine status.
Yeah, well, they can't underestimate that because even though he was pushing them, he still also advocates for choice. So even though he kind of approves of them, he's not one of those to mandate them. So
I guess that, but people believe that if he let COVID happen on his watch and they're ready to do round two, is he going to stand in front of that and say no?
Yeah, is he gonna let some ding dong like Fauci make the call? I mean, people got to understand who Fauci was. Fauci
well, it
was
whoever replaced Dr. Frati.
Yeah, and you know, and Fauci was might be Hotez, God help us. Fauci was not a medical guy. Fauci was a freaking drug maker. That's all he did, was bring in the money for stuff like that. I mean, when they were letting him make decisions about all this, that was the stupidest thing they could have done. And Trump let it happen.
So we know that Robert F. Kennedy is anti-war, and he's against the CIA, and, of course, anti-gene therapies. So that's his appeal, and everything else, while I would love for him to defeat Brandon in the primary, I would not vote for Kennedy over Trump or Vivek Ramaswamy.
Yeah, I don't know. I would love to see Kennedy run with Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah, I think that Robert F. Kennedy would love to get rid of the Second Amendment.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think he wants to take guns away from.
Just because he's with us on a few issues doesn't mean he's a savior.
No, I understand that, but
He's just better than every other Democrat that's out there, and he's better than some of the Republicans, but he's not what we need right now, in my opinion.
I'd like to have him
in the cabinet somewhere. Go ahead.
Have you listened to his speeches like you have everyone else? Or his interviews?
I hear enough of him. I follow him. I try to. He's hard to watch sometimes on YouTube, so you have to go to Rumble to watch him.
Yeah. I don't know. I think he's got a really good soul, but I don't know.
And I agree with that. He could be a nice guy that you feel could represent you well, but remember, he's not a conservative. So, is he a good person that you want him to fight for you? Absolutely. But I think there's better choices for a president.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure yet. I'll just have to keep watching and seeing. And.
But it would be nice to have a Trump versus Kennedy debate and a Trump versus Kennedy election. Both of those candidates seem to like each other.
Yeah, I can't. Can you imagine Biden trying to debate with any of them? I mean, there's no way he can.
Oh, I'm looking forward to if Kennedy ever chose the vice president spot, I would love to see a Kamala versus Kennedy debate.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, she just babbles. She just babbles. It cracks me up. It's like, you know, you hear rumors of how she got where she is. And guess what? I'm starting to believe them. I mean, because she doesn't make any sense. Not ever.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. But, yeah, they've got to figure that one out. I wonder what's going to happen if something happens to Biden before the election.
Well, that's the heavy rumor is that they really, really want Big Mike because he's such a nice lady. And I'm not just making that up. Because they feel that he would be able to beat Trump or beat anybody.
No way. No way.
I'm not saying yes or no. I'm saying that the globalists feel that's their best opportunity. Because you'll have blacks come out of the woodwork to say that they voted for Big Mike. And you can't discount it just because you might not like him. He is a nice lady, and the blacks that liked Barry Satoro, they'll come out and vote for him.
But what I'm saying is if Biden were to die, okay, the vice president steps up. Is there any way that they would let that happen? Is there some way that they can keep her out?
I don't know how that would work. However, if they can't get Big Mike, then they're torn. They really want either Gretchen Whitmer or Governor Grissom.
But I thought that, so like if the vice president wouldn't step in, the next person in line is the Speaker of the House, right?
Yes.
So that would be...
But they're trying to concoct a way to just do a clean sweep if they can.
Yeah. Which is odd. I haven't heard much from McCarthy lately. What's going on with that, I wonder? Seems like he's been quiet. That's weird, now that I think about it, with some of the things happening. But who knows? I mean, it's our Congress is kind of a joke anyway, it seems like. Although, you know, you've got people like Jim Jordan, you know, Josh Hawley.
At least you have a pulse in there, even though it's not a very good pulse. At least you have
one. Yeah, exactly.
Mitch McConnell
really like
and Ron McDaniel have hit absolutely zero. They've scored no yards. They scored no punches. Their track record is zero. At least Kevin McCarthy has thrown a few punches, even though he's getting beat.
Yeah. You know what's funny, too? Boy, you don't hear anything about Nancy anymore, do you?
No.
Thank God. Oh. So good to have her out. But
that's the upper three right now for the Democrats. Big Mike, and Big Mike is really not interested, so I don't know what they're going to do to sell him on running for president. So if that doesn't work out, then you have Gretchen and you got Grissom.
Oh, yeah, that's true, because that's true. Newsom has been,
That would be a freaking nightmare.
Either one of them would be a nightmare.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, she's there. Well, I'm not worried. There's no way she would get elected.
Oh, you can't
and
say no way.
Wouldn't
there
elect her. Well, that's true. That's true. they put in there, I guess, who they want.
Picture Trump debating Gretchen Whitmer. That just would be...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think she's kind of a dit, too.
Yeah.
So. But I'm wondering, do you know Josh Hawley?
Yes. I mean, I've never met him.
But I like him. I wish he would start. Well, I guess he's where he is, but he, I like a lot of what he does. And he's good with interviews, with questioning. I like seeing him in there at least. And I like Jim Jordan. I'm trying to think of the other people that are in there that are good. There's not that many, but there are a few. And there's a lot that I don't even know.
Byron Donalds is good. I'll give him that.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, did...
Taylor Greene, there's a few more.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. And that other, that's true. What happened with Kaylee McKinney? Did her and Trump have a falling out, or what's the deal on that? Do you know?
No, not really.
Okay. See, I don't either. I don't really know what happened, but I think something happened, because I think he said something bad about her, and I think from something she said on Fox. I don't know. But I wish I could find out what it was. I think it had to do with the polls or something. So I'm not completely sure. But I'm going to have to... Excuse me. I have to research it more and try to figure that one out. But she was so good when she, was working with him. But she is on Fox now. So, I don't know if it's going to change her for better or worse. We'll see. We will see. I know something I was going to bring up. It's more on a, more kind of a, I don't want to say religious, but it kind of is a religious thing. Somebody posed a question today, and I answered it the best I could on Activate Humanity, but I often wonder why humans like to blame God for the darts in the world. You know, they're like, so can we talk about why they blame him? Like, you know, they're like, why does he let this happen and stuff? And I don't have the best answer, but it's like, we were born with free will, and it's not that he allows it to happen, right? Is what I try to tell them. It's like, it's man that allows the darkness to happen in the world. You know, I believe in karma, and it's like, it's when they don't do anything about, like, those that, like, through this, the whole past 3 years and just throughout time, who just sit back and do nothing. You know, they're part of the problem. And so I try to come up with a good answer for people. And I don't know. Do you have a good answer for that?
Not really.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to explain, but it's just like, little kids
babies are born into horrific situations. But it's like, did God allow that? Or, you know, these parents allowed that. So you've got these, you know, you have these parents that are druggies and just, you know, idiots. And they get pregnant and they bring a baby into their world. And it's like that baby now is suffering, but it's not because God allowed it. It's because those two humans, you know, are making the just stupid choices. And so they're bringing that karma into this child's life. And, you know, so it's, I think the hardest part of that is trying to explain that, so why is that child having to go through that sort of karma? So that's, I think that's the tough part that people can't, you know, get their minds around. And it's still hard for me too. Even though I stop and think, I'm like, no, it's not, you know, it's still hard. It's hard to wrap your mind around that one. So I didn't know. I thought maybe you'd have a good answer. But I wish somebody would have a good answer for that, or a better answer. It's something that could be talked about, because I think it turns people off a lot of times when they see that, when they see the harm coming to people that don't deserve it. So I don't know. And then there's those that, you know, believe that, and I think even Dr. Morse talks about this, and he's a big God person. You know, he said you don't want to come back to this world. He said you want to move into the higher world, God world. And he said, you know, when he always talks about the mansions, and he said it's not what you think about. He said he has these, God has created these higher level of, I forget how many worlds that you can go to. And this is the lowest one where we're at right now. And that's what he said. He said, you know, and if you don't get that, and if you don't connect with God, and you don't reach those higher levels of consciousness and closeness with him, you know, you can come back to this place. And so it makes you think. It makes you think. So, like, it's still not okay, but for a child, if they are born into that situation, you have to wonder sometimes if they were here before and did bad things and have to come back into that situation. So I don't know. I just would love for that discussion to take place at some point, people's views. Shed some light on it.
All right, let's see what else we got here. So I did want to get at least some part of the Tucker Carlson and Russell Brand in today.
Oh, yeah. You didn't do that one yet. Okay.
We got enough time to just play the Russell Brand version.
Okay.
When Barack Obama was president of the United States, he was fantastic. Wasn't he so fantastic and great? He tried to ban a legal tax evasion strategy. No, he's not president. He's using that exact legal tax evading strategy. So is Barack Obama a great president, or is Barack Obama the same as everyone else, just corrupt? Hello there, you 6.4 million awakening wonders. Thank you for joining me on this voyage to truth and freedom. That will require critical thinking and the ability to look at representatives of both parties and to declare openly and plainly that systemic corruption is exactly that, all pervasive, totally immersive, and apparently unavoidable. Whether your hero is Donald Trump or Barack Obama, we've got a story for you that points out that they were totally corrupt, cannot be relied upon because of the way the system operates. Today, it's Barack Obama. Turn on the notification. notification bell if that tickles your fancy. We do stories like this every day over on Rumble. It's an hour-long, fantastic and fun show. Barack Obama was seen as a great hope for many people, someone that could genuinely change the political conversation, that was a brilliant speaker and a charismatic man. Of course, the 2008 bank bailout smeared that reputation somewhat, as did the droning of Syrian children. But now that he's not president, now that he's an elder statesman advocating for Joe Biden, that guy, let me know in the comments what you think of him. It's disappointing, isn't it, to learn a legal tax evading strategy that he railed against while president is being exploited now, probably because he's actually so poor and he's, oh no, he's a multimillionaire, isn't he? Let's have a look at this.
As Americans, we don't mind paying our fair share of taxes as long as everybody else does too.
Do we? Yeah, we do.
But for far too long, lobbyists have rigged the tax code with loopholes that let some corporations pay nothing.
I guess he won't be saying that in a couple of years when he's not president. And indeed, he's not saying that in a couple of years.
They've riddled it with giveaways that the super rich don't need, while denying a break to middle-class families who do.
Joe Biden there just thinking, soon it'll be my turn, and possibly earning a few quid on the side. Who's to say what happened when he was vice president? Let me know in the comments.
Let's close loopholes so we stop rewarding...
Oh, Joe Biden, no! Not the loopholes, you idiot! Hunter!
Companies that keep profits abroad and reward those that invest here in America.
Everyone knows what to say, don't they? Everyone knows the things that you're supposed to say, but no one actually does them. Yes, there's all clap this. We're not really shutting those loopholes, though, are we? Of course we're not. He's not going to be president in a couple of years. He'll be using those loopholes. Oh, phew.
Let's use those savings to rebuild our infrastructure and to make it more attractive for companies to bring jobs home.
Yeah, this is all such great stuff. It's not just bullshit, though, is it?
Let's simplify the system and let a small business owner file based on her actual bank statement.
Oh, her. Oh, this is good. She's not going to, in a few years, just be exploiting those loopholes. Not after you said her. Some of those weathered guys. Come on. I saw Reagan say that. I saw Nixon say that. I saw Jimmy Carter say that. Nobody actually does it.
We can use that money to help more families pay for childcare and send their kids to college. We need a tax code that truly helps working Americans trying to get a leg up in the new economy.
I mean, everything you're saying, that's all sort of fantastic, but it might as well be theater. When you look at it, actually, it is there, isn't it? People standing up and clapping, the flag hanging up there, career politicians just sat around, everyone saying the stuff that they know they're supposed to say, everyone knowing that they're not going to actually do anything about it. It's become more and more meta, because in that one, Barack Obama was actually defining the situation. I mean, you know, I'm sick and tired of, like, presidents saying this stuff, and then when they retire from office, going on to exploit those loopholes and give speeches where they earn millions of dollars. Because of the way the world is now, someone could see it all happen in real time. I sort of think that the reason we've got this mad old Joe Biden version of the president now is that no one can be bothered to even emotionally invest in, oh, there's a woman one. Oh, there's one that's a different color. Oh, is that like, so, just give us an old white one that's totally full of shit and just bring out another one in 4 years.
And we can achieve that together.
Do we clap yet or already? We said we're still not shutting the loopholes up. No. No.
Helping hardworking families make ends meet.
That's what we're trying to do. That's all we're trying to do. Us, Raytheon, Wall Street, Lockheed Martin, quantitative easing bill, all of it. Just the old hard work. What are you going to say again? The hardworking face. Why don't you sing a song?
Giving them the tools they need for good paying jobs in this new economy. Maintaining the conditions of growth.
Oh, shut up. I can't listen to any more of this. Okay, this is from Lee Fang's Substack. Barack Obama campaigned extensively during his presidency to eliminate the carried interest loophole, a tax strategy that allows billionaire investors to evade ordinary income taxes. There he was, just giving a brilliant speech about it. American families, hardworking, common decency. You heard it all before. Hedge funds and other private fund managers use this tax treatment to pay long-term capital gains of 20%, a rate that is almost half of what many working Americans pay. Obama, while in office, said this loophole leads to folks who are doing very well paying lower rates than their secretaries. However, since leaving the presidency, Obama has employed a similar tax strategy to potentially only pay capital gains tax for the services he's provided to private business interests. One example of this is Obama's strategic partnership with NBA Africa, which was announced in 2021 as part of an expansion of Africa's largest men's basketball league. The deal is structured as a profit interest share. Now, what this is ordinary business practice. What this exposes is that the rhetoric while in office is absolutely empty and hollow. It's not particularly egregious that Barack Obama is doing this. It's standard. It's normal. Everybody does it. What's egregious is that in office they say that and out of office they do this. Because everything that takes place in office is a kind of spectacle. It's theatre. It's just something that people are saying. If you were able to have said to young Barack Obama, they'd look, are you sure about this? Because like when you leave, you're going to be like a businessman. You're going to actually need this stuff. You're like, well, I don't think I need to worry because this stuff will never actually happen. So what you are left with is the incontrovertible conclusion that politics is a media spectacle. It's not actually going to do anything. And that is the main message we're trying to transmit to you. That is not the way to improve your life. Participate in it by voting on it, talk about it, preferring one of them over another one, hoping that this one will do better than that one. Look, you see, behind that one talking then is the one that you've got now. He'll be doing his version of this. He's so bloody old, he's not really going to have time to cash in, is he, afterwards? But maybe his kids will. Now, we have to fund ourselves not using profitable tax loopholes because we just can't afford the accountants. So we have decided to accept this commercial from these partners of ours and make it funny. If you like this product, why not use it? There's a link offering you a discount, I bet, in the description. Is it me, or does the future feel more insecure and uncertain? Wars, pandemics, lies, trickery. My cats keep having kittens. The last one's personal. For those who are in the United States, there is a way to secure your hard-earned nest egg. American Hartford Gold make it easy to protect your savings and retirement accounts with physical gold and silver. With one phone call, they can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside a qualifying retirement account like your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the U.S. with an A-plus rating from the BBB and thousands of satisfied clients. Right now, they will give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. This offer is only for U.S. customers. Call 866-505-8315. That's 866-505-8315. Or simply text BRAND to 99 88 99. Get up to $5,000 of silver and protect your future in this crazy, crazy world with some solid precious metals literally made in stars. The favorable tax treatment of money earned through a profit interest arrangement resembles the carried interest loophole which hedge funds and private equity executives used to pay a capital gains tax rate on multi-million dollar compensation packages that is often lower than the rate paid by middle class workers earning salaries. How outrageous that people can be persuaded to spend their time criticizing and condemning other people in the same economic class as them in favor of lobbying for, ideologically at least, the interests of elites on either party who ultimately, as we have now seen, will do nothing, because I don't think Trump did anything about this either, close the loopholes that they benefit from when their allegiance to their economic class is resumed after their brief theatrical turn as president. Obama pushed multiple times during his presidency to eliminate the carried interest loophole, which he condemned as a giveaway to the super rich. But did he really, or was it just some performance? Closing the carried interest loophole so that fund managers' earnings would be taxed as ordinary income was a prominent feature in Obama's budget request to Congress, as well as during public speeches and his re-election campaign. And I think that's what's significant, is rhetorically it's effective. He didn't make it, did he? It didn't get done, did it? Was it ever meant to get done? In 2012, Obama even ran television advertisements criticizing Mitt Romney for his use of the carried interest tax provision during Romney's career as a private equity executive. In the ad, the narrator claimed Romney used every trick in the book.
Tax havens, offshore accounts, carried interest. Mitt Romney has used every trick in the book.
In a way as well, though, like, I don't want to pay tax, do you? Do you trust the government? Do you like the government? Do you want to give them your money so they can go bomb some foreign land or do deals with medical health care providers that rip you off or weapons manufacturers? The morality around tax, for me, is out the window. I would like to pay tax directly to the community that I live in, to elective concerns and interests that you, through consensus, determine and vote on and allocate your taxes to. I don't trust them to decide it anymore. This is what happens when your government is completely bereft of all authority. Say in our country, oh, well, what about nurses? They're not paying nurses enough. What about teachers? They're not paying teachers enough. What about railroad workers? Anyone who's doing anything, anyone that you'll trot out during a pandemic to say, hey, come on, these people are heroes. When it comes to it, when it comes to paying them, you'd rather use the money to buy up your private data, to funnel into Raytheon and Lockheed Martin, to funnel into Big Pharma, to give themselves bonuses. You know how this stuff operates now, so there's no morality around taxes anymore. Asked whether the business arrangement violated the principles Obama professed to support as president, a spokesperson for Obama's office declined to comment. Because there's nothing you can say. Because the answer is, yes, of course it does. But those principles were meaningless because it was just a performance. Over the last 7 years, the Obamas have accumulated a vast fortune through glitzy content production deals with Spotify, Netflix, and Amazon. Book sales and speaking fees to banks and trade groups have also generated millions of dollars. Obama's newfound personal fortune has vaulted him into the upper echelons of American wealth. The Obama family is reportedly building several houses on a plot of beachfront Hawaiian property purchased by close friend Marty Nesbitt, the chief executive of Vistria Group, a Chicago-based private equity firm. How, then, can you spend any time engaging in the discourse about the differences between the various figures that occupy these apparent political movements? It's simply sort of a theatre troupe. It's just casting, really. Oh, this one's good. He's charismatic. Stick him out there for a while. He'll do all right. Then afterwards, he'll do what they always do. No one has got the tenacity, the personal moral fortitude to sort of step outside of it and operate with any conviction. And I feel that the system itself doesn't really afford it, that people are being filtered out, that relationships are being formed, people are getting funded by such nefarious individuals and such terrible institutions, that by the end of it, as, you know, the phrase that Trump used, the swamp has engulfed everybody. And indeed, the draining of the swamp is precisely what's been required, or just leave the swamp and go somewhere else. When he first ran for presidency, Obama struck a populist tone, promising to close the revolving door in Washington of special interests and lobbyists and end unfair trade practices with China and hold business leaders accountable. The usual. Obama's presidency turned out to be a disappointment to many progressives who were frustrated by, among other things, his support for expanded international free trade deals after campaigning on renegotiating them. A bit like when Joe Biden said, make Saudi Arabia a pariah, and then...
And make them, in fact, the pariah that they are. And
his administration's refusal to criminally prosecute major banks responsible for the 2008 crisis. Since leaving office, Obama has largely stopped populist economic arguments altogether. He's apparently more interested in the issue of alleged disinformation disseminated on social media. That's interesting, isn't it? Because there's a clear and obvious relationship between this new censorship industrial complex and the interests of the powerful. As long as they can maintain control over independent media, as long as they can ensure that mainstream media carries messaging that is beneficial to their agenda, they don't ever have to alter the unequal, unfair, corrupt systems that they build, participate in, and exploit, even when rhetorically pretending that they oppose them. So when you have independent media like us, where we're willing to talk about these problems, convey this information, query whether or not former president should be operating in that way, and what it reveals when they are, can be shut down, and the participants in projects such as these are smeared. That was the topic of Obama's speech at Stanford University in 2022. I want to speak about disinformation, because that's the only thing I can speak about now, because I'm so rich that anything else I mention is going to seem like hypocrisy. As well as the focus of the Obama Foundation's inaugural Democracy Forum summit last November, Obama made no mention of the carried interest loophole or any tax justice issues during either public address. So, when he was in a position where he could have but didn't do anything about it, he spoke about it. Now he's in a position to exploit it, he doesn't mention it. So, I don't know, is that less hypocritical or... The carried interest loophole has remained vexing for multiple administrations. On at least one occasion, former President Donald Trump rallied against the loophole on the campaign trail, but he never invested significant energy in eliminating it. Huh. Sparing it in his far-reaching tax cut legislation in 2017 and creating a new path for high-income earners to avoid top income tax rates. President Joe Biden similarly promised to end the special tax treatment, but failed after fierce lobbying from the investment fund industry. Last year, as congressional negotiators hashed out the final stages of the Inflation Reduction Act, the loophole's closure appeared imminent. But a last-minute lobbying blitz from the American Investment Council, which represents leading private equity and hedge funds, along with the pressure from the real estate industry, convinced Senator Kristen Sinema of Arizona, an independent who identified as a Democrat at the time, to kill the measure. I'm a Democrat. I'm an independent. What do I need to do to be paid? Just shut down this bill. Then I'm that. In the end, Biden signed the legislation without any change to the carried interest tax rule. Here is another story that shows us the necessity of remaining mentally frugal, objective, and clear-headed when it comes to dealing with political disinformation. Barack Obama, while in office, publicly publicly spoke about this issue all the time, campaigned on that basis, passionately received standing ovations while wowing the American nation on the topic. But Barack Obama now, as of today, uses that legal tax loophole in order to profit while talking about, curiously, disinformation, misinformation, malinformation, which I believe are new categories that have been created to shut down dissent and to prevent issues like this one being publicly discussed, so that the whole system can continue to maintain itself, because the system's not going to destroy itself from within itself. It will be destroyed from outside it. That is why these new legislative barriers are being, even before...
All right, I'll go ahead and knock that out right now here. So you just got the second buzzer. But I hope you enjoyed that.
Yeah. When you mentioned the tax thing, I was like, yeah, not only do I not want to pay taxes, I want a refund.
Right.
For what they've done with them this past year. And, Obama.
Any last stuff before we say goodnight?
Okay. All righty. What was I going to – I was going to read something short and sweet. Do I have time?
Considering the outro music already started, that's not going to happen.
Okay. All right.
Thank you for being here tonight. Appreciate having you here.
You're welcome. Always.
Everyone else, support the other shows on Freedomizer. It's not just here, but until tomorrow.